Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and t-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsok.
And this is the Clone Wars Report.
There's now music in the newsroom.
the jazz droid, the official Star Wars jazz droid, is now playing the intro to the news.
Hear the notes of news that aren't there.
Boo-doop, ba-doop, boo-boo. Read between the tragedy. That's the way to do the news. Anyway, it's time for podcast. How will Jedi respond across the galaxy? This is the Clone Wars Report. We are gearing up for the release of the new season of Clone Wars. This is our fourth episode, and we have been getting ready by discussing some of the major characters of the Clone Wars, and this is our last episode before the new season starts, and we are going to talk about the power of Padme.
Mm-hmm. Love that title. Love this decision. We sometimes will take credit for being very smart and planned out. Other times, we just like, hey, let's start talking about the Clone Wars Report. How do we do it? The four best characters, the four main characters. You'd said, you know, these are, let's dive in. And I think that's the best way to go back and look at a daunting task, reliving the Clone Wars building up to season 7. So many episodes.
Yeah, sometimes it just
so
happens.
So many stories.
Yeah, because we just decided to start with Ahsoka, and then I was like, how many weeks are left? Ooh, interesting.
And I think it's important and not coincidental to end on Padme.
Yeah, Padme is great, and we are going to talk about why we think so. So let's dive into the big picture. For you, what is your big picture reaction to Padme in the Clone Wars animated series specifically? Does she match up to Padme in the movies? What's your big reaction?
I think she I'll say this carefully, exceeds Padme in the movies, somewhat by design, by even George, who I think had to make some tough decisions in Revenge of the Sith, cutting some of those big scenes with the rebellion, the early formation. And
cutting her family scenes in Attack of the Clones.
That's right.
Yeah, there's a lot of Padme on the floor, as it were.
Yeah, you're right. I forget about that family stuff. And then her controversial death and everything, and how, you know, different show, but all that's there. So I think she exceeds it. And when the series started, I guess the most, like, there's Ahsoka and Snips, and I'm learning to appreciate Ahsoka differently. I think initially I was a little like, I don't know, the Padme, you know, Kat Tabor's voice is great, but it's not necessarily Natalie Portman's, and I was stuck on the surface. And it's by season three, I think, really, when Padme starts really getting in my mind, moving to the forefront.
She's given a couple of juicier storylines.
Big storyline stuff. And at the end of the day, I'm like, wow, this is what the Padme I didn't know I wanted and the Padme we needed. And
yeah.
Yeah.
For me, I rattle on about that phrase, tip of the iceberg, yeah. Storytelling, going back to A New Hope. And you mentioned the Clone Wars. You're like, ooh, what's that? And it's so much great tip of the iceberg storytelling in The Mandalorian. It makes you wonder about more. To me, this is like a great example of everything that's in the Clone Wars, I think we do see in the prequels. And this is the Padme iceberg in a beautiful way. Because everything that I like about Padme in the Clone Wars animated series, I can point to a scene or a moment where I feel like I see that in the prequel movies, in sometimes in big moments, sometimes in small moments. But there's just so much more room for them to breathe and be celebrated. Yeah. Like, I feel like we get to see all of the different sides of her. So, like, definitely in the movie, you can see politician and diplomat in particular, someone who would rather have pacifism than war, but someone who is a fighter and will absolutely fight back when pushed. You get the sense of somebody who wants to be a mentor and wants to help people who are having a hard time. Obviously, you get a little bit of the sense of someone who's truly in love with Anakin, someone who is truly a romantic partner. And all of those things get developed in bits and pieces in different ways in the Clone Wars animated series and kind of gelled together in a great way.
I really am drawn to it's especially Attack the Clones. You start with her and Anakin having conversations and then come back in Sith and, you know, Hey, Annie, maybe we might be on the wrong team, right? That comes out of, in various ways, shapes and forms, out of Padme in the movies. To see it not just in simple terms of, like, you know, you might, especially in 02 and 05, you might be like, she Palpatine. Yeah, that's right, the Emperor. But to see it in the show of just like, and she's a mediator at times in some ways. Not that she's in the middle, but she has this ability to see the bigger picture of what's going on. And even in her big speech, I'm sure we'll talk about some of her big speeches, but in that speech, when she pinch hits for Bail Organa, fortunately, where it's like, hey, here's how the war is affecting the Republic on this side.
Yeah, and this is why we're fighting.
And the stuff with Mina Bonteri that we had talked about before, Clones Report, just the idea of her being able to see the separatists, or at least specific separatists, not under the direct influence of a Sith Lord, see their, not just simply see their side and point of view, but just, I love this big picture. Padme's really tapped into all sides of the story.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And I think that's on display a lot in the Clone Wars.
Yeah. Going back to even A New Hope, just to talk about Star Wars DNA, we've talked about before, how each of the big three kind of represent these pillars of what Star Wars can be. And you got, Luke with the fate and the destiny of the Jedi, and you have Han with the scoundrel and the bounty hunter, and Leia is the rebellion and the politics and responsibility and leader and being there for the people. And I feel like Padme definitely represents that in the prequel movies, where there are more politics. But I was really struck when my wife and I did a rewatch of pretty much Padme-centric episodes.
Yeah.
It's not just about Padme. It is a guide to the politics of Star Wars.
Yeah.
At least as presented by Lucas and Filoni, and how much she is a pillar of, no, these are the ideas. These are the values that Palpatine is destroying and attacking.
Yeah.
When you start to break down all of what she is actually fighting for, which we'll talk about more later, but just for the big picture, the fact that if you want a crash course on what are the politics
yeah.
of the galaxy. And, you know, from Lucas's perspective, putting them in the person of this character who is undoubtedly a hero
yeah.
in that creator's mind. What are they? It's just such a great, great lesson.
Yeah. Her she's, you know, our point of view to the politics of it yeah. all, I guess. Yeah. Much yeah. like Ahsoka's the point of view, just the Clone Wars and the Jedi and overall.
Yeah. Yeah. And Padme, much like Ahsoka, is very much a moral compass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Cool. So let's dive into some more detail. So what are the parts of Padme, the details that are maybe in the prequel movies, but that we really get to spend some time with in the Clone Wars? What are the elements that you really relate to or are excited by?
Ooh, this is going to be a weird choice first here. There's something that struck me in the one of the episodes recently, and I'll be honest, I didn't I've been watching a lot. It's one of the later ones where she has a real frank conversation with Anakin about, I think it's during the Rush Clovis stuff. That's right. Like, this can't work, man. Like, why did we think this could work? We're living in secret. This is no love. This is no, you know, relationship that's functional. Like, this can't go on. And of all the things, of the details of Padme, to it adds just a real world. I've been in those situations myself where it was like, this is great. We can't tell anybody. Oh, this kind of weighs on things. This isn't good. and of all the things we see, you know, Padme is, like you said, she's as a wife, a partner, and, you know, was going to be, unfortunately didn't happen, a mother. To see it in that realistic of no force, no politics, just her and Anakin on a couch going, we got to talk. I really like that little detail.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just struck a chord to me.
And that's the longer Clovis arc towards the end of.
The Rise of Clovis and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, season six, which has some great stuff that we talked about with Anakin's rage toward Clovis. Yeah, I'll talk a little bit about the other end of that.
Yeah.
I watched an earlier episode where her feelings for Anakin were really present. And and I want to put the emphasis on her feelings.
Because
I feel like sometimes we can talk about Padme as how did she play into Anakin's destiny?
Yeah.
And when I was rewatching these episodes, I was like, I really want to concentrate on the lines that are, but what does she feel?
Right.
Absolutely. And there's some great moments early on where you can see her love of Anakin and her desire to have him around and her fears and her doubts. Yeah. There's a moment where he has been away for a while and she's worried about him. And he comes home and has some food that he brought on this transport. And it's this real, like, I brought some takeout. and there's this fun little line of like, well, what happened to the Republic ship you were on? It's like, it blew up. Don't worry about it. And it really framed her of like, what is it for her to have to be constantly afraid of losing him? In this great moment in particular, where he's like, well, I figured the least I could do is bring food home.
Yeah.
And she's really affected that he called her apartment home. And I just love seeing that. Yeah, this, we know the duty side of Padme. We know the pragmatic Padme who is eventually going to say the things that you were describing of. We got to figure a way out of this because this is no way to live. We need to find a pragmatic solution. But obviously, it's this passionate part of Padme that was drawn to Anakin. It's a passionate part of Padme that said, when you confess to slaughtering the Tusken Raiders, I don't see a murderer. I see a lost, confused, kind soul.
Yeah.
That side of Padme to see what her wants are of like, I want you to spend the night here. And he gets called away on Jedi duty. This is all in the Senate spy, the first Rush Clovis episode. And they really have this back and forth of like, well, some of the fears that we know so well from Anakin, she has too.
Yeah.
She worries about him going away. She feels a little, you know, not neglected, but torn when he's like, well, duty calls.
Yeah.
And, you know, a little mad at him for his hypocrisy of wanting to always keep her safe. But like, he's like, well, adventure's my thing.
Yeah.
Don't you just stay here? And seeing all of those that she can be jealous, she can be worried, she can have doubt, makes her human. Because I feel like I love celebrating the strength of the character. but I don't want her to be perfect because,
yeah,
you know, a hero is a hero when they overcome things.
Right.
And it's cool to see her have these moments of not just in the relationship with Anakin, but other places. Like in that episode we were talking about where she has to take over for Bail.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to. Bail is the more respected speaker. Yeah. And she thinks, I can't do it. People aren't going to respect me enough. And to see these moments where we get to see her have doubt so we can celebrate that she does find the right path, which makes her a true hero.
Yeah. To me, a lot of what the Clone Wars succeeds is taking little strains of the character, particularly in Revenge of the Sith, just providing some ballast to those big ideas that George didn't either dive into, didn't feel they have time to, you know, stuff was cut for whatever reasons, doesn't matter. So a lot of her going, hey, Anakin, let's just run to Naboo is a really great movie, fairy tale kind of, let's just do it. But to actually have now, here's reasons why, because this isn't going to work. We need to go out of it. To have the politics, this is where, you know, the sound of liberty dying, to see where how she fought for it all to get to that moment. It flows really well. Like you and I always say, if you dig in, the themes connect to these bigger things in the movie.
Yeah. My last kind of other side of Padme thing I like is that in the movies, she certainly has a few proactive moments, but she's responding to a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I like seeing a lot of these episodes are motivated by, she's like, I want to pass this bill. Sometimes it's, I want to defeat this bill. Or
yeah.
I think there is this problem on Rodia. So I'm going to take a ship and I'm going to go do it. So I like seeing the episodes that are motivated by her, mm-hmm. not just that she's responding to something.
Oh, I like that a lot. Her and Satine and corruption, you know, the beginning of that arc, a lot of that too, of, you know, Padme out in the field.
But yeah, she's reaching out to Mandalore, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because she wants to see if she can make a difference. So we've talked a little bit in the big picture about Padme being the entry to the political side of the Clone Wars in particular. Do you have favorite political moments or stories?
Oh, partially because it's so fresh in my mind, and I know your mind as well. The Pursuit of Peace one's really good, because that speech. I think I'm really affected by that shot of Mon Mothma kind of looking up like, yeah, this is right. And you see where Mothma, even in Rebels, where it plays out. This is I don't know what I like Padme in the Riff Tampson episodes,
which
is weird because I don't like Riff Tampson much.
But there's a lot of on underwater there.
Yeah, and again, that she's there. She's front and center. She's out of her office. She's not writing policy on a hollowed typewriter. I don't know. I like that kind of stuff. Padme out and about, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah, I just rewatched a bunch of Padme episodes in the last day. And talking about the proactive thing, a lot of times it can just wash over you because you hear some words, you know, and you think Padme's doing a political thing and then some adventure. Oh, this is the one where Jar Jar.
Oh, politics Padme.
Oh, politics Padme is going to politics some more. But like, this is the one where Jar Jar pretends to be a Jedi and there's a lot of slapstick. I'm like, okay, yep, that's there. But you strip that away and she's in the politics of what she's doing. Of the Republic legitimately let Rodia down.
Yeah.
And Rodia is considering joining the Separatists, which gets to these great stories of there are practical realities in the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Rodia is not getting food shipments. They're desperate. The Republic isn't working. This is why other people are joining for legitimate reasons, joining the Separatists without realizing they're actually being manipulated by dark wizards for weird cult reasons.
Yeah.
And so many of these episodes are motivated by what she's actually doing. There's a great episode that I rewatched called Assassin.
Yeah.
This is the one where Ahsoka has visions of Padme being murdered by Aurra Sing. This single episode, man, I could go on and on about this.
Yeah, please
there's
do.
There's a ton going on there. So they go to Alderaan.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Right. And this is one of those ones where you see like, oh, all the people in Alderaan are designed as though they're from Earth 1970s.
Yeah.
They all have like kind of, you know, the wavy, flowy hair. And lots of feathered hair. That's the word I was looking for. And mustaches. And anyway, so that's fun. But and then also the whole, I forgot Anakin standing there when Yoda congratulates Ahsoka for successfully interpreting her visions in preventing Padme's death. So there's Anakin is standing there hearing that. But then you compare how Ahsoka actually handles the visions. Yeah. She listens to Yoda and she meditates and she doesn't, you know, overreact. And anyway, acts in defense like a Jedi. But the motivation of all that, what's going on, is Ahsoka is trying to say, like, just stay here. Don't go to Alderaan. She's like, no, I have an important conference about refugees.
Yeah.
And again, that word refugees can just wash over you. But that's what she's actively doing, is a bunch of people who don't give a damn about the politics of this are being displaced by our war. And I will risk my life to make sure people who are being unfairly chased from their home by war that they can't control are safe. And the fact that that is actually, you can get distracted by the Force visions.
Sure,
and Ahsoka,
and
it's all great and interesting. But from the Padme perspective, I will die to convince other people to help refugees from war is powerful.
That connects directly, I think, to what we've got going on in Phantom Menace, where she is the queen that reunites the Gungans and the Naboo.
Yeah.
And feels it and hears it and has, you know, some empathy going on for the Gungans, but hearing it from Jar Jar, which ties into her talking to Ahsoka about the Separatists. Like, well, look, they were us before the split, and there's reasons why. Let's figure that out. What you're talking about here, caring about other people in the galaxy, and risking, because in Phantom Menace, she risks it all.
Yeah.
That's very consistent and very powerful.
That's part of her speech during when the final attempt on her life is happening. Her speech is like, the conflict that happened on Naboo is nowhere near the scale. But here's what I learned about war. We stopped it, but many Gungans died. Many Naboo security died. She even says in the episode, we lost the Jedi Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yeah.
So she's tying it directly to that. And then you talked a bit about the heroes on both sides in our Clone Wars character, Star Wars Ranked. Mina Bonteri. It was really fun to rewatch that specific episode and just remember that so much what Padme's motivation is we can find a way to stop this war. You know, she at some point says, you know, I think it's in Revenge of the Sith where she says this war represents a failure to listen.
Yes.
And you can really see Padme has no idea. Maybe she's aware of the Jedi. I think like, well, there's some Sith Lord behind it. And like, okay, whatever. That's not my thing.
Right.
Practical reality. Isn't there any way that we could stop? I love that her motivation is, I'm not trying to say forgive and forget. I'm trying to get everybody to stop shooting at each other.
Right.
So negotiations can resume.
Yeah.
So that idea of like, I think from Lucas's perspective, here would be the rational thing to do.
Yeah.
Let's stop killing each other and then let's decide. And maybe if the Sith Lord evil wasn't involved.
Yeah.
If maybe those systems would go, all right, you know, we can't agree, so we're going to form a separate government, or, okay, we'll come back to the Republic if this, this, and this.
Right.
You know, and the fact that Padme is so interested in that reasonable, empathetic process. Mm. Not just giving up, not just saying, the Separatists are right, let them go. But it's just like, let's stop shooting and talk for a while and see.
And see what's going
on. If we can find a way to solve this.
And again,
and of course, it's impossible because the whole Sith Lord thing,
which is part of what George was saying. I would love. I'll be honest. At this point, I don't know much of behind the scenes stuff of creation of this Padme character in the Clone Wars. I'd love to hear Filoni or George talk about it. Maybe it's out there. I don't know. Did they pluck individual lines from the prequels and be like, how do we build to this? How do we ballast this wall of ideas that Padme got? Because it all really is I don't think I've watched an Assassin's episode in years, quite frankly.
Yeah.
To see some of it out there so well, just done so well, it's interesting. I'd like to know more about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then so the Heroes on Both Sides episode then leads into the Pursuit of Peace episode
that
it sounds like both you and I rewatched this morning as we're recording.
Disney Plus buffering aside.
A little bit of buffering.
A little bit of buffering.
A little bit of buffering.
To call Uncle Bob.
Yeah, pursuit of peace and pursuit of not buffering. You have Disney stock, right?
I do have Disney stock.
Call Bob.
I'm going to call Bob.
Call Bob and tell him to fix your internet. I love that that arc is about what is the cost of war morally, but also... Mm. So specifically, what is the literal cost? Everything that's going on in there, I think, is about Lucas's interest in. Mm. Here are actual specific critiques of government problems, of structures that fall apart. And of course, you know, we get to have the benefit of knowing an actual evil Sith Lord is doing all this on purpose, tricking people into voting for deregulation of the banks. And then they go to the banks and go, we're going to find out how much all of these Clone Wars would cost to continue the war.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, since you deregulated the bank, the interest will be 25%. This is not subtle. This is straight up what's happening. And Padme goes on this literal speech of okay, and everybody who supports this, I support the clones. I see them as people. She mentions that she supports the volunteers from the galaxy, from the Republic, who are fighting to defend this. She's not, you know, she gets out there and she fights literally, you know.
She does
lot.
In this episode too, by the
she
way.
She does a lot in this episode. Yeah. So it's not like she's just Dove and everything is fine. But the literal cost is, that's the whole crux of this speech, right? The literal cost is social services. She lists them.
Yeah.
You know, healthcare and education and, you know, helping people with food when they need it and electricity and that her political perspective is so much about empathy.
Yeah.
And that to me ties to, I think, Lucas's opinions about government, but also Lucas's opinions about the Force and about symbiosis of we are all one, you know, and it's, and this is why to me, when you talk about the balance of the Force, it's not about numbers. It's about what are the Sith Lords doing to the galaxy?
Yeah.
The Sith Lords are plunging a government that used to try to make sure that everybody had their basic needs met to have them all consumed with anger, fear, violence, death, hunger, everything, all sorts of different forms of suffering.
Necessary rage.
Yeah.
My favorite from that sequence you're describing, I didn't want to cut you off, but Bail Organa just going, that's a lot of credits.
there's some great funny lines.
Because that speech, too, is built around, her specifically referencing her assistant and the life that and had the effects of it. And I love that because I love that. I think that's we've talked often about what's the movie Solo is about, the literal oppression of the galaxy by the Empire and not in all militaristic ways.
It's poverty.
Poverty, industry collapse, family structure, whatever you want to point to in that movie. So for, Padme, you said empathy. Empathy is the big thing, is that just keeps coming up. Oh, Gungans. Why are we not allowed to talk to you?
Why do you just stay in the swamp and we don't speak of you?
What do we do? Yeah. Clones. Very much on they're people.
Yeah, because there's the Corn Senator who's just like, well, yeah, they're dying. That's what we made them for. And she's like, they're people.
And the representative from Kamino's like, I think you should order 5 million more.
Of course, we'll have to go to the banking plan, and they are deregulated. But so what?
Yeah.
And I really appreciated In Pursuit of Peace, again, to give Padme conflict, to not make her an inhuman character who's perfect.
Right.
When she's pressing that Quarren senator to try to get him to oppose the bill to buy more clones, to pay for more clones, he says, well, I have to listen to my constituents. Mm. They're afraid of the separatists. The protection is their priority.
Yeah.
And kind of throws it back at her and says, have you talked to your people lately?
Mm.
And she has that moment of doubt where she doesn't throw anything back.
Yeah.
And you think of Padme as her being like, yes, I have several town halls. And but it's a moment of doubt. It's a moment of failure, which sets up her success because she doesn't know how to give that speech. And she goes to her assistant and asks for just a person living on Coruscant's perspective.
And
gets that perspective. So I love that we get to see her doubt, see that she's not perfect. And also, it makes it so, it feels like as much of a political episode as this is, we're using one of our main characters, one of our heroes, to criticize that failing of representative government when it's not actually taking time to listen to the people and actually be representative, which is how she, you know, sort of morally succeeds in that episode, if not actually with the vote.
Yeah, yeah. And the whole series, time and time again. Yeah, it's easy. It's easy just to write it again, the politics Padme, but to see it's beyond the it goes to the people, goes to the story of the galaxy, which is why they eventually need New Hope, which is why it keeps coming back. And so which would make sense again, that why we would have seen her then form the rebellion.
Yeah, and you know, obviously people can have whatever opinion to any sort of actual politics of it, but I think it's also great for people who say, you know, the prequel movies, I get the general idea, the politics are there, like. If you're interested, these episodes are great for Padme, but they also spend time from Palpatine's perspective of here's how I'm going to systematically make it get us to that point where Mace is considering doing something maybe immoral, right? When he's like, when Anakin's like, well, you should just take Palpatine in, you know, into custody. And he's like, he controls the courts. He controls the banks. And you get to see the mechanisms in the Clone Wars by which he folded everything into being not accountable to the rest of the government, to the point where he can say, I am the Senate, to the point where Mace Windu is like, I don't see. He controls everything in the system.
So. Anakin, he is the Senate.
Yeah.
No, again, building back to that stuff. And the idea of... you got Palpatine, Sheev Palpatine. I'm not talking about Sidious, the Emperor. We got Sheev Palpatine.
Right. No lightning fingers. He's still a problem.
He's still a problem. And Padme at every turn is in his way, or he has to go around her. And sometimes he succeeds and sometimes he doesn't. I think that ties to a lot of the Phantom Menace stuff. You'll find controlling her will be easy. Oops, not for you, Palpatine.
And again and again, right? That's the end of the Pursuit of Peace episode, right? Where he has that creepy conversation with Mos Amita, where he's like, for now, we will have to let the gears of democracy turn.
For now. And I think it's one of those moments because Bail was supposed to speak and maybe Palpatine feels he could, you know. And I just... love that the show sides, if this was a wrestling match, we got Padme versus Palpatine for control of the politics of it all. Not control, Padme would not want that, but just the themes. And that ties into Revenge of the Sith very well.
Yeah.
I love that.
Beautifully.
Love that, just thinking it out.
Let's dive into some of Padme moments in terms of her relationships, because I think that's one of the places where Padme really gets expanded in the Clone Wars animated series. Obviously, we get some more depth with her relationship with Anakin, like we talked about, but she also has this relationship with Ahsoka, with the Jedi in particular, with Bail, you know, R2 and 3PO and the droids and all that. So for various Padme relationships, her interactions with other characters, are there specific moments or stories that grab you?
I think a lot of the stuff with Ahsoka, we talked about the Separatist stuff, but there's the... I think it's in the Rush Clovis one. I've been watching a lot of these episodes out of order as you just trying to scramble through. Because I also, by the way, I got lost in watching the Yoda voices.
Yeah.
Because it's a pretty awesome one. And I was like, oh, wait, I'm supposed to be watching Padme stuff. I watched all three of the Yoda ones. I love Ahsoka's kind of so tuned in. It's kind of like figuring out what's going on with her. And I love, it's a very real moment. It's a very office moment. What do you mean? What do you mean, Anakin? What? We're just friends. Well, that kind of stuff. But I think there's Ahsoka and Anakin is a key relationship. It's very powerful. But to see Ahsoka also kind of have a mentor in Padme, and you talk about Padme being the moral compass, I think Ahsoka could learn and did learn more from her on some of that stuff than Anakin.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Relationship. The Anakin Padme stuff is good. Everything we've talked about.
Yeah.
Including the, how'd you get his lightsaber?
Yes. The hostage crisis episode, which by the way, what's going on in that episode is there's a advanced privacy invasion bill that Bail and Padme are trying to stop so that the Republic can spy on anyone they think might be a separatist.
Right.
So all of those political catalysts are always interesting. Ahsoka mentorship that assassin episode as well is a real Ahsoka growth moment, because she isn't sent on the mission with Anakin
right
at the beginning of it, and she is feeling like, I'm really confident when I know Anakin's there and has my back, but can I stand on my own 2 feet? And she knows that she's really listening to Yoda and taking the vision stuff responsibly. And Yoda gives her the kind of standard line of like, it's very insightful, but the future is always in motion, and this is one possible future. So for clarity, you really need to meditate and be calm and make sure that what you're seeing is, or will be. And there's a part where Ahsoka kind of admits that she's scared to Padme, and Padme gives her a pep talk about how Padme has been scared too, and that, you know, that you need to find a way through, and talks about when she was a young queen and how hard that was. So that specifics of that mentorship, where you really get to see it in action, is great. I love concentrating that Pursuit of Peace episode, that Padme doesn't feel as respected as Bail.
Right.
And you're watching like the first episode and you feel like, it's an uphill battle. There's a lot of senators caving to fear or money, and they're not listening to the good guys. And then you get to that moment where like, oh no, there's a big difference between Bail and Padme. And the fact that this is an episode about her going, is it even possible that I could give an oratory like Bail and get to his level?
Yeah. I mean, look, that would probably deal with some real world aspects of a young woman in power. Will I be taken as seriously as this guy who deserves all the respect and power he has received through his life? But can I be taken as seriously as him?
Yeah, am I starting with some points against me?
Yeah.
So that's really cool to see that relationship, and seeing her visit Alderaan and seeing the closeness of that relationship with Bail. You know, I understand if you're, you know, a movie only watcher and you watch Revenge of the Sith, and Jimmy Smith just says out of the blue, like, we've always talked about a daughter. We'll take her. You know, we get to see a little bit of them in the movie together, but seeing them truly work together and seeing them be often like, we're the two people leading this bill. We're the two people opposing this bill.
We get
to see her go to Alderaan. The fact that Bail and Brea want to raise her daughter just becomes more powerful as you watch those moments.
Absolutely. It's in E.K. Johnson's first Padme book, there's a moment there too, right? She spent some time there, and it reminds me of that too as well. We're just like bittersweet on many levels.
Yeah. But yeah.
Interesting.
My final relation.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems, too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and, of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Relationship thing I like that gets mentioned a couple of times in the episodes that I watched. She gets described as a friend to the Jedi and somebody who has worked with the Jedi. Like in one of her fights with Anakin, she says, like, well, you know, I've done stuff, you know, with the Jedi before. I'm no stranger to being in danger.
Right.
And I like that perspective that, like, not all senators are kind of buddy-buddy with the Jedi.
Right.
And that Senate spy, that first episode with Rush Clovis, that gets kicked into gear because it's the Jedi Council who want Anakin to ask her to spy on Rush Clovis. So she's kind of being given an assignment by the Jedi. Mm. So it sort of clarifies that relationship that, like, they're not going to Orn Fritta.
Yeah.
They're not going to random senators and going, can you help us? And it ties Padme to the Jedi in an interesting way because a lot of the philosophy she literally says is kind of pure, good, unadulterated Jedi philosophy about violence is my absolute last choice. Right. It's absolutely for defense. When it's needed, you're going down.
We're doing it.
And, oh, yes, I'm absolutely terrified. And I know many people don't think I'm doing the right thing, but I am convinced it's the right thing. And I will not let fear hold me back. And just putting the spotlight on her of, like, not only is she maybe a moral compass for the Jedi who kind of, much like Ahsoka, kept you know, their teachings a little bit more better than maybe some of the Jedi did.
Yeah, they need it.
But also, like, you know, it centers her as, like, an active badass senator who kicks and shoots things.
Look, it's Star Wars. It's Star Wars. And at some point, you got to go get your hands dirty.
Yeah.
Just from a playground point of view. And I like her and I like Duchess Satine when they do it as well.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Padme is a person of action. What do you think of the moments in Clone Wars when she chooses violence? Because we've talked a lot about this episode of, like, she's trying to find a way to find peace. She's trying empathy. She also kicks and shoots a lot.
I think it's realistic in the, you know, in the way that it's Star Wars, you know, again.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking right now, like, you know, could you imagine a senator in the United States right now going, I need to grab my blaster. Let's go to, you know, it is Star Wars.
I don't want to imagine
that. Want to imagine it. It is Star Wars, but aggressive negotiations. It's realistic to me what you were talking about earlier about Padme is not just dreamy. Olive branches, peace, this and that. We all wish maybe the galaxy or the real world could be like that, but there's, you know, you're gonna have to roll up your sleeves sometimes and figure it out. This is not me encouraging you to go fight.
Right.
But so in terms of Star Wars, it just means, like, no, there is a line that can't be crossed, and I have that line, and if you cross it, blaster in hand, we're going out. Or she's not helpless either, just on a simple level. Again, going to the Pursuit of Peace one, I forget there's an entire speeder chase
where she drags the alien like through various obstacles and smacks him around,
and it's just pure Star Wars fun again, but that she isn't shrieking in a corner the entire time. That adds to the importance of the character.
Yeah.
And the influence she'd have over real life fans.
Yeah. Rewatching that season one episode, the Bombad Jedi, the one where Jar Jar pretends to be a Jedi.
Yep.
She does so much ass kicking. She like kicks the battle droids in the face, gets her blaster, and just is she tears through the battle droids. But again, for me, it has this great feeling of like, yep, we know that's part of her background. We know that, you know, she trained along with the handmaidens.
The handmaidens,
Self-defense, and that all it, you know, feels like self-defense.
Yeah.
You know, there's that great line in E.K. Johnston's book about, you know, I know how to deal with evil. Like, you shoot it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm paraphrasing there.
Yeah.
But it comes up in a bunch of these episodes also about how she won't let fear hold her back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about like, Padme's had a bad day with Anakin. She's going to the bar and someone's getting a bottle broken. It's I am knowingly
it's confronting fear, yeah.
Going into absolute darkness and danger. And I have multiple people the galaxy over who are constantly hiring bounty hunters to murder me. It's that strength of my basic normal day to day is probably someone hired a bounty hunter to kill me.
Yeah.
In obviously there are more specific heightened moments, but just staying in that moment, you know, gives more insight to her. Like, yep, I always got a blaster on me somewhere. I'm always ready to take someone down if I need to.
Phantom Menace, Attack the Clones, after, you know, an explosion rips apart her ship, kills her head. She's going to stick around for the vote. Yeah, this tracks. And again, it makes Padme this well-rounded action adventure character. She's not just in the corner writing policy.
Yeah.
Which would be cool as well.
Yeah. So if you were going to try to be more like Padme Ken, what kind of things would you do? What life changes would you make?
Well, I think the first thing I need to do is up my wardrobe game. Let's talk about that. And I actually think that's a really fun part of Padme's character. Even in the one or two of the episodes I was watching just this morning, I was like, oh, she changes her hair and outfits every scene. I love the E.K. Johnston kind of deals with the realities of, like, it was fun on screen, it was fun on the show, but how does it actually work in real life?
Yeah, which ones are comfortable, which ones aren't, which ones have a practical purpose from defense, and also which ones have a purpose from presentation of, I want you to feel I'm a little aloof and not knowing what I'm thinking, or I really want you to think about the grandeur of Naboo, or I want you, like...
Again, adding a lot to those ideas put forth in the movies. If I was trying to be more like Padme, we would talk about her empathy. While I do feel I'm relatively empathetic, but she has this 360 degree view of the galaxy and the world around her, and she doesn't move from that center or that view. She knows who she is, but she'll learn and she'll adjust and adapt and grow, and she's looking around her all the time to me. That's a skill I think we all should have in life.
Yeah.
You know, no blinders on for Padme.
Yeah. Yeah. I think after watching those episodes, it just makes me want to be like, okay, I'm going to go sign up for some organizations to be even more politically active than I am about issues that I believe in and I care about. And I realize some people will disagree, but I will have to live with that fear. Yep. And then also I need to take a self-defense class. So I can walk down dark alleys of Coruscant alone. Amazing.
A lot of senators, by the way, walking around Coruscant by themselves.
I gotta think that there's a pad, or not a Padme, a Sheev story behind that.
Yeah.
Where, like, he got some budget cuts to senatorial to
protection.
Yeah, yeah, because we see the Senate guards sometimes, and they're cool. Okay, as we begin to wrap up this episode, what do you want to see of Padme in Season 7 of Clone Wars, and what kind of insights into her character or setup for or possibly during Revenge of the Sith?
Yeah, right? That's his key. Here, I'm going to try to phrase this as you know, thread this needle as much as possible. I love seeing these realistic views on the story, and we've been talking about taking one line of Padme and turn it into these great character things. We know the reality is in Revenge of the Sith, Padme is a slightly different character. She's pregnant, by the way. She's in a different position. She's watching the love of her life crumble before her. There's some real pain. By the way, his best friend shows up and says, I'm going to go kill him. She does one final bit of action, goes and chases him, and we know her death is doesn't want to live anymore. If we could get some insight into that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to take anything away from Padme, the strong character. But you talk about her being fallible at times or needing to grow or needing to be more of a hero. that moment of running after to save Anakin on Mustafar, not really knowing what she's doing, just, we got to go. And it doesn't go well. Obviously, it doesn't go well. That's kind of a last heroic moment, though. I see it from a good spot.
Yeah.
So if this makes any sense, just the idea, if there could be little insights into her frame of mind of the, maybe there's some chaos in her heart, some soul. The galaxy is crumbling at this point. Padme's rumination scene, the broken heart of looking across at her broken love and the temple on fire, and it's all crumbling around, and it's a great juxtaposition to the end of Phantom Menace of peace orbs, and, you know, we're going to have a great time in the future. If that makes any sense, just a little more insight into her fall.
Yeah.
You know, not her fall as she fell, but just like I think where the character ends up.
Yeah, I think that you could look at her as a... from a literary perspective is like a tragic character.
Yeah.
Is somebody who could do absolutely everything in her power and still end up in tragedy because of the forces opposed against her.
Yeah.
And setting up, it feels like to me what you were saying is like celebrating her success as she heads towards this moment that she can't get past because in some way of Sheev, Anakin, the dark side.
If you just some context to... She doesn't want to live anymore. You know, that's a big one. That you know, I think even George might handle it different now.
Yeah, and I wouldn't put money on this, but that would be a fascinating thing to touch on if the series is going to step into Revenge of the Sith at all, because it's the medical analysis droid.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about having trusted sources.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the medical analysis droid who's like, no medical reason. So my guess that I'm saying is a random medical analysis droid is she's lost the will to live. But as many fans have pointed out, the dying with saying there's still good in him doesn't feel like somebody who...
Right.
So, you know, I know there are all those theories out there about, you know,
Sheev, very fun, but well,
You know, somehow manipulating life force and that, you know, I think there's only so much to go on in the movie itself, but I think there's room to tell some of that story, or even if it has something more to do of the cosmic importance of the birth of the twins. For me, when I think about sort of justice for Padme and her heroic nature, I don't feel like she lost the will to live.
Yeah.
From my headcanon, that's something a medical analysis droid said because it had no better explanation.
I totally agree. And go to Sabe in E.K. Jonathan's first Padme book, Queen Shadow, right?
Yeah.
What's the new one?
Queen's Peril.
Queen's Peril.
Yeah.
I was confusing them in my head. Queen Shadow. You know, Sabe at the end of it, like, there's nothing right about what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
There's nothing right about this. If we can make any kind of move to start not filling in blanks, just making crazy stuff up or justifying decisions made in the movies, but I think they sometimes do a really good job of really providing you a new way to look at it or new context or new meaning behind it.
Yeah.
If we get a morsel of that in season 7, I don't know if I say I'm hopeful that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know when all these scripts are written, you know. But even then, if these scripts are written in 2012, 2011, whatever, Filoni and George were already looking at that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We've just talked about a lot of what they did with the Padme character to maybe correct some things or fill
or
in.
Or enhance.
Enhance.
Yeah.
Enhance is a good word. Anyways, I'll get off that. But that's one thing I might be looking forward to.
No, I think it's a big thing to talk about, especially in an episode like we're doing. We're celebrating Padme.
Yeah.
And it's hard to avoid some of the... To me, I choose to see the end of Revenge of the Sith right now as an unanswered question.
Yeah.
And if there wanted to be some more playing with answering that question, would be interesting to me. So we covered a lot of my stuff. I definitely want to see her... coming to grips with, like, this war just does not seem like it's going to end, to get her to that point of being really disillusioned with it and really questioning it in Revenge of the Sith. I really want that fear of losing Anakin.
Yeah,
The Outer Rim, the sieges, dialogue from Revenge of the Sith, the Outer Rim sieges, and their whispers that you had died.
Yeah.
And I think we could get to see even more of that, of, like, her true love of Anakin and her fear of losing Anakin.
Yeah.
You know, and what that does to her. A little bit more also of, like, she talks about it in Revenge of the Sith, but, you know, what is the post-war plan?
Mm-hmm.
Like, in her mind, where the war does come to an end someday. and Anakin and I make it through. Mm-hmm. You know, she talks in Revenge of the Sith about just going away, but like more with that would be interesting.
Yeah.
That Forces of Destiny episode with Ahsoka, Padme, and Anakin mm-hmm. made it pretty clear that Ahsoka understood that yeah. they were together.
Yeah.
It would be fun to have that locked in the yeah. Clone Wars. I don't know if there's any room for it, but that would be, just imagine all the different directions of how juicy a scene that yeah. could be if Padme was able to talk to Ahsoka and just say, yeah. We're together. We've been together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd be good.
And being able to open up. And what would Ahsoka think about that? How would that affect Ahsoka's view of the Jedi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And her view of what happened to Anakin, you know?
Yeah.
Having sympathy for him.
My last thing is to answer a Star Wars counseling type question that comes up a lot of, do they not have prenatal care in Star Wars? Because why didn't she know she was going to have twins? That might be an opportunity.
She's too busy.
An opportunity for... Yeah, you could have do something more with the twins instead of just being like, I'm too busy or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
or,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, are the, yeah. are the prenatal droids as crappy as the medical analysis droids? Yeah, yeah.
Oba, we don't know.
That's the midwife droid. Let's not blame the midwife droid. Any other thoughts before we wrap up?
No.
Things that you like about Padme in the... Clone Wars.
You get this this full, robust character, a character that was really in need of that, whereas Anakin and Obi-Wan, we get, you know, just more further adventures. We get insight. We get a lot of things. This new creation of the Ahsoka character comes along and provides powerful stuff. But Padme, for many, was it in terms of, you know, female characters to gravitate to in the prequel era. No doubt that Revenge of the Sith left somewhat of a bad taste in a lot of those fans' mouths. And I think to get a chance for George even to come back and get a chance and maybe do it again and figure out a little bit more of the character. I'm always appreciative of the series for doing that. And then hopefully one final thing, season 7, maybe we actually see, who knows, some of those deleted scenes.
Oh, yeah.
Of her forming. It'd be a great place to put them.
Oh, yeah. And with the way that elements of Rebels were things that they wanted to get to in Clone Wars, with that real... Yeah. Elevation of Mon Mothma.
Yeah.
To see some of that connection between Padme, Bail, and Mon Mothma, that they are the beginning of the rebellion and those seeds are being planted.
There's no reason for me to think that they couldn't put those scenes in way back in the day. Like, because, you know,
oh, yeah.
You're coming out of Revenge of the Sith. George cut those scenes. He knows it. He just ran out of time.
Yeah.
It'd be good.
Yeah.
It'd be good.
Oh, that'd be so awesome. All right, we are going to close, as we have all of these episodes, by talking about the main characters being real. If Padme was real in our world and we could ask her a question, what might you ask of Padme?
What might I ask of Padme? It might be, how hard was it to run in sand? My question I'd ask Padme, if she was real, but we're still in the Star Wars galaxy, is... Would you have wanted to go on to be Chancellor?
Ooh.
You talked about her running away, but I think she would have been a damn good Chancellor.
Yeah.
But would she have felt the need to go on?
Yeah.
If all things went well.
Yeah.
Consider, because she'd also have two kids. Not that I think she should have to give up her career for the kids. I'm not suggesting that, but just the idea of what would you want at that point?
Yeah, yeah. I think that would have been really, I would ask her about, like, yeah, what is, if the war had ended and Anakin had stayed on the path of light, but you still were caught up in these institutions, him with the Jedi rules. It's been a Star Wars counseling question about why is it a problem for Padme? And for me, it's like, well, it's a complicated political thing. And there's a question of, you know, is she making different political decisions because...
Right.
She is secretly married to a Jedi and all that kind of thing. That'd be very interesting to see, like, pragmatic Padme going, okay, what is the actual right way out? What is the noble thing to do? What is the best thing to do?
Yeah.
Is great. I would also ask her how she picked Luke and Leia's names.
That's great.
Because she was ready to go.
She had them.
She had them. There was no, Bonja Luke.
Two U's or one U? One.
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 Save two U's for a clone. Yeah. And the final ask, I'd ask her for some speech making tips.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think I'm a decent public speaker, but I'm no Padme Amidala.
Hey, you know, we all wish we could be Padme Amidala in the public realm.
Yes, we do. Well, thank you all for listening. Thank you for joining us on this journey to the Clone Wars. The Clone Wars Report will continue. We're going to be recording on Mondays and releasing on Mondays after the episodes drop. So we'll have a weekend to process, and we're so excited for all the Clone Wars. If you want to follow along, you can, of course, keep listening, but you can also find us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram for Center Pod. Main home is Anchor, but you can also find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and all the other podcast places. Ken, where can people find you?
You can find me at Ken Knapsack. Go to KenKnapsack.com. I will be in Las Vegas March 6th at Mandalay Bay, the House of Blues, performing comedy with Mark Ellis. And now, confirmed, Josh McCouga, released from his vacuum salesman job. So go to KenKnapsack.com for information.
Excellent. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram as at Joseph Scrimshaw, and check out my website, JosephScrimshaw.com. For all my other comedy adventures. For now, for myself, for Ken, for Padme, that is it, and consider empathy.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit. Credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.